welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You know, we're really glad to be back. Experience Points is a show where we, some lifelong nerds, tell you, the listener, we reminisce, I guess is like the best way to...
Yeah, we reminisce. We just geek out. I like to call it geeking.
We're lifelong geeking nerds. Out. We got a lot of geeking out to do. And this show specifically has a lot of geeking out midway through. And then we're gonna kind of nostalgia and show you where we're going with video games. But before that, Red Bear, you know... We're on the web. We're accessible.
We're on the internet. It's the thing you can access now.
What is our website address?
Our website address is http://www.exppoints.com. Double tap the P.
It's like you almost forgot what the website was because we never add the HTTP.
We never do the protocol anymore because it's not the 90s.
Right. So without the protocol, what would it be?
That's exppoints.com. Always double tap the P.
So make sure you got two P's in there. We also are on social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube,
so much easier now.
Google+, Steam, Stitcher, and iTunes. If you want to look us up, instead of trying to find out what the original URL is, just go to exppoints.com, scroll all the way to the bottom, and look at little icons on the bottom of the screen. If you don't want to do that, and you know specifically which like social media you want, just follow exppoints.com with like a slash and then whatever social media you want. So /Twitter or /Facebook or /Google+ or /Steam or /iTunes or /Stitcher or /YouTube.
It's there.
And we got a lot of social media.
Except for Google+. We don't have Google+.
We don't have... No, we do have Google+.
Do we? Yeah. It's just the crazy address. It's just the... We don't have the address or
it's
something.
So they give you one when you create a YouTube.
Right, but it's all
so
crazy.
So it's that one. We have a MySpace, but it's still being built.
I can't believe we have a MySpace.
I have to make it look so bad. Like, I have to make it look like the mid
it's
or
so
early
bad.
2000s, which means I have to put a lot of bling, a lot of flashy things on it. I have to play some songs.
You use, like, pimpmymyspace.com?
Yeah, yeah. I've got to find a really annoying song that plays way too loud and way too and like worse quality the MySpace. So.
I'm excited about the MySpace page. I will tell you right now.
We're gonna tell you what we did over the past week, but before that, there's this.
Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy. But here's my number, so call me. Maybe it's hard to look right at you, babe. But here's my number. So call me maybe.
So that's a thing.
Yeah, that was a thing. So we're gonna do that. I figured we tried to be a radio show from like I guess the early 90s where they just had a soundboard full of effects and you put spring and bing stuff like that. What did you do this past week?
I moved and got power. So soon I'll be playing video games that aren't mobile.
You got power like electricity,
I got
dictatorship power. You got
dictatorship.
Power?
Well,
yeah.
Maybe.
Are you like Kim Jong Un now, or Kim Jong Il, or?
I feel like I probably have a more advanced infrastructure than he does, so I have a better chance of taking over the world.
You have wireless at your apartment.
I have wireless,
and
so
we're unaware.
We're like 10 centuries ahead.
We may not. Does North Korea
Beartopia
have wireless? Beartopia
will take over the world.
What's the official color of Beartopia?
Red, obviously.
It sounds communist, I'm just saying.
You know what? You will be saying that in 10 years when, you know, you have to report to me.
Yeah, wow. Man, the times will change. I helped you move.
Yeah, you did. Appreciate it.
So you've got some of these major, huge bean bags. This is a funny story.
They're sumo sacks.
Right, so sumo sacks, which
check
sounds
them
weird.
Out at any con ever.
So there's these giant bean bags. I mean, they're the size of a queen size mattress.
I got the sumo sex sultans.
The sultans, the SSS.
The SSS.
And you have two of them. You have two of them.
Yeah.
And these things are huge and they're heavy. They're pretty heavy.
Well, they're filled with memory foam.
Oh, is that what
it's not like being, yeah.
Oh,
you didn't actually sit in one yet. You should come over.
No, I did.
One.
I flopped on top of one when we were done.
Yeah,
but
it was all hot and terrible.
We were all hot and sweaty.
The AC works now.
Yeah. So we helped Bear move from Baton Rouge to sort of like Hammond. Where we're based at now. And then we moved you some of your stuff from Holden, where you grew up and your parents have a storage room, to Hammond.
To Hammond.
So the first trip was getting your mattress from Baton Rouge to Holden, and then getting the two sumo sacks from Holden.
With the mattress.
With the mattress from there to Hammond. Now, driving down, you can't, like these things,
massive.
I'm not doing
I've only
it.
Ever carried them one at a time before.
I can't do it justice. Like, you have an F-150. Mm-hmm. You've got a pretty big bed in your F-150, like a standard size truck bed.
6 foot bed.
I guess a 6 foot bed. We had a queen size mattress, I think, in there.
Queen size mattress.
And then we had two of these giant bean bags.
Sumo Sultans.
And we had a ratchet strap, but we only had one.
Yeah.
And
I'm bad apparently at owning a truck.
And we were like trying to ratchet these things down, but it's beating down heat on us. It was so funny because we had to stop 3 or 4 times on the slow road.
We were going to attempt the interstate.
No, because they were catching so much air. We were driving 35, 40 miles an hour down a slow back road. And people honking at us.
We got passed by a tractor.
We got these two giant balls in the back of your truck. These red and purple balls in the back of your truck.
Well, this is going to be the episode Mother listens to.
That's it. So we're driving down the road.
Red, by the way.
One's burgundy and red.
Well, yeah. Okay, so one is a different color red, and I think I got, I only ordered one, but it didn't come in for, a month, and I called and complained, and then, the next day, I got the one I ordered. Then, a week later, another one comes in.
How much does it cost to ship a beanbag full of memory foam?
I think it was free shipping, actually.
I want to know, how did you get it? Did you get in a giant
box? No, well, they super compress it.
In a
vacuum bag.
Oh, okay.
And once you break that seal, it explodes.
So it's dangerous to open this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's fun. It's never going to go back that small.
I always worried about that.
Robots. Because
people.
For days pounding it.
I remember a while back, in the 90s and early 2000s, there were these vacuum seal bags where you put your clothes in there, you fold them up, and then you get a vacuum.
Right.
And you put the attachment on the vacuum one-way valve on the bag, and you vacuum out all the air. And it made it not paper thin, but phone book thin. And originally it was like a suitcase. It was a big giant thing. And you put a bunch of these under your bed, your mom put a bunch of them under your bed. But what if they ever broke? And they all of a sudden inflated and they just you come home one day and your bed's through the roof, through the ceiling, because you had so many vacuum bags underneath it. And over time, they just filled up throughout the day, just pushed it up and up and up and up.
I could see that happening with the sumo.
See, I'm glad that we live in the modern day because that wouldn't happen. You just go buy new clothes or you keep. You don't vacuum pack your clothes anymore.
Yeah, I guess.
I haven't heard that.
Wow.
Some crazy, as seen on TV, death trap right there.
They got your money.
Yep. Anyway, we're going to kick it back to a song real quick. This is Boss Wave by Exilent. You're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Boss Wave by Exilent. I really like the end, where it breaks it down all bit style. That's a pretty cool song. I hope we should have told him that before. We should have been turn up the bass, blast out your windows,
cause a disturbance. I think you should always have it turned to 11 regardless. When you're listening to us, your system should be at 11.
11,
two in the red for the bear.
There. Welcome back to Experience Points, and then we're just going to start with two in the red or the bear. All right, yep. So we decided, instead of going with our normal way of doing things with a retro game, we decided to kind of bridge out a little bit more.
This started out with me thinking about a retro game that I used to have.
Right.
I was really excited about it.
It was a Tiger Electronics Jurassic Park handheld game.
Yeah, it was
game.
Jurassic Park, and I was super excited about getting the Jurassic Park handheld game.
Right.
And then I got it.
It wasn't... just to be clear, it's not like it was a game cartridge for a Game Boy.
No,
or
it was
game
an entire
gear.
System.
So
all
this,
in one.
Back in the 90s, the late 80s and the early 90s, just to preface this, there were these individually packaged, 5 inch by 4.5 inch.
Sure. Small.
It's like a little rectangle, little square rectangle sort of thing with maybe 4 or 5 buttons. Depending
on the layout.
And a colorful case.
It always had a colorful sticker.
Little label on the front.
Yeah.
And they had a Flintstones one. They had a Power Rangers one. They had Jurassic Park.
They had tons
of these things. Hundreds of these little licensed.
Full House had one.
Full House had a game. There were LED or LCD screens.
LCD screens.
That were printed.
The background. You had a static image for the background that was
just a picture.
A sticker that was printed,
And that was the skybox, if you will.
Exactly. And then you had the LCD screen sitting over it, so
it was transparent, and only certain parts of it lit up, like a watch, like a normal electronic
watch.
Exactly
like how a watch works. So the old style LCD watches.
When you look at an old style LCD watch, you really see eight 8-8 or 1-8-8.
Yeah,
eight,
like if
eight.
You look at the little pen, you can actually see like the, it looks like a whole bunch of eights, and then parts of the eight light up to make the different numbers.
Right.
We all remember this. Right.
So that's how it is. Just like an old VCR and any type of old display, it was limited technology. Exactly. But
this had like characters and it was like different shape. Like, you know, walking animations were done this way.
Right. So that they instead of being all eights, there was everything you'd ever see on the screen at any given point was there. And whenever you did something, it would animate or light up that part of the screen.
Now, as you're probably thinking, yes, this limited what they could do a lot.
It was like a slideshow instead of a game. It was like a flip book.
A flip book, yeah, with terrible beeping sounds.
Not even a flip book. It was like a flip book if you just like turn the pages with your one hand manually, like at a time.
And then every time you turn the page, you went beep, beep.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was required.
See how annoying that is?
It was
beep. That's highly annoying. That's what you got this whole time.
It was like required to have a beep, I think.
And best practices required.
Right.
So, to
preface this, and we rarely do we actually kind of endorse another radio show or YouTube thing. Angry Video Game Nerd actually has a pretty good 18
minutes.
He did
lay it out.
Yeah.
How it was.
We're gonna follow a lot of what he said because we thought of it before we watched his video.
We did. Well, like I said, I wanted to do the Jurassic Park, and I started thinking, I'm like, they made a whole bunch of these.
Right,
they're all
right.
Just as bad.
We do encourage, you know, watch the Angry Video Game Nerds.
The internet. Check out some other people. They're cool.
I think he just does Tiger Electronics, Angry Video Game Nerd. If you search for that, I'm sure you'll get something. But we're going to go ahead and kick it off. So, you know, we talked last week about how in 1983, was last week the 1983 show? Or I think so. I think it was the rise
we'll
and fall.
Go with it.
So,
sounds
yeah,
good.
In 1983, there were these horrible things where they flooded the market with all this hardware.
Right.
So,
and we were kind of pitching that as the worst thing ever. We had kind of overlooked this
right.
Whole
we didn't really. We didn't because I mean that was before we were really alive, and it would have been horrible to us if the video game craze. We're going to call it a craze. If the video game craze sort of ended before we were even around to enjoy what we have now.
Right, that would have been terrible.
Let alone enjoy what was before it went crazy. So we thought that was the worst, and that I guess could have been the worst. But in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, Tiger Electronics started to release these plastic...
Like it was a competition to outdo the bad video games of
right,
the 80s.
Right, right. Well, it's like... And you know, Angry Video Game Nerd sort of set it up like it was the poverty version of a game console. You know, the Game Boy was very expensive at the time. And
right.
It required cartridges, and it required more batteries, and batteries are expensive.
Required twice as many batteries
right.
as your as
200% batteries.
Yep,
boom. It was that's
right
some
there,
math.
Battery cost alone.
So I mean, you know, you could give these away for gifts. They were very cheap. Gas stations had them. Dollar Trees or the equivalent had them. You know,
at some point they even gave out a smaller version, like in Happy Meals.
Right. Yeah. It was even towards I guess towards the end of this when they, or maybe the heyday, maybe like the mid early 90s. So like 92, 93.
Heyday.
You know they it well burns. Yeah because it's kind of like a negative in this case it's not a very
mega heyday
thing. Mega heyday. It was so you get to go to like McDonald's or a fast food restaurant and they'd give you in, you know, your toy would be like, I remember Sonic was one at like McDonald's.
Yeah, that's the one I specifically was thinking about.
There was another one where it was like a Mad Max, not a Mad Max, a Mighty Max. Mad Max is something completely different.
Yeah. But I mean, and they still actually do this every now and then. Like remember Burger King actually made game, they give out games every now and then. They had like Sneak King, I think when the Xbox came out.
Yeah. And it was, it wasn't all in one thing.
Right. No, it's completely, I'm just saying they still like give out video games randomly sometimes.
Right.
I don't know why they attempt that.
I don't hate on you know, two completely different things trying to collide and combine, like, you know, a fast food restaurant and a video game type of thing. I think it's interesting to see the amalgamation of completely two separate ideas. Like, we sell hamburgers, and I know you have an Xbox, so why don't you play Xbox game about hamburgers and sneaking them?
Boom.
You know,
done.
It's interesting to see that because... I imagine, you know, we get some pretty funny things out of it. I remember Game Grumps did an episode about the Chuck E. Cheese Wii game, and it was like a game of mini games, and it's just really funny because it's just some crazy game that Chuck E. Cheese released because why not? these plastic Tiger games were a little bit different. They weren't really in competition with anybody else. I mean, Konami released a couple of them, you know, I think five or six of them. But Tiger Electronics
these guys
versions,
had the market because they made up a market.
They licensed a ton. They licensed games that were already existing, pre-existing games like, Altered Beast, Street Fighter, Mega Man, just a ton. Jurassic Park.
Like I said, that's the one that got me excited.
Even Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest. And you didn't have any perspective.
Well, the thing
with
a lot
games.
Of these games, so like, you know, we mentioned it, it's kind of like these cells or whatever that move around the screen. And half the time, you didn't even know what you were doing or what the point of the game was. It was like every game was E.T.
You
had no idea what was happening.
You bought this game.
Why aren't these buried in the desert?
You bought this game. You took the plastic off. You got it out. You put batteries in it.
Which was the most entertaining part of the whole experience.
Putting the batteries in?
Getting it out of the plastic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because that was actually, there's danger involved.
Right.
There's real threat there.
You see, we need to come up with like our pet peeve type of show where when we talk about video games, what do we hate the most? Me personally, I hated the old DVD cases where it was like, my disc going to break in half when I take this disc out? Like, I'm pushing down on it, but whenever I pull out, the disc is bending past a certain degree that I'm comfortable with. We need to come up with a show like that, but plastic is definitely on the list. Because it's like plastic.
Most hated thing,
it was the plastic that could kill you. So you take it out, you put the batteries in, you start it up, and there was no tutorial, there was no instruction, there was nothing. Now, to be fair, there were four or five buttons underneath the screen that turned the game on and off, turned the sound on and off.
They were clearly labeled.
Reset the game, and those were clearly labeled. And they
so we knew what those buttons did.
They never really changed. I want to say that was like constant on every Tiger Electronic anything. But then you had the option of having like maybe a D-pad on the left side, and then maybe one big giant button on the right, or two
or
smaller buttons.
Or something, they
weren't a D-pad, but it was still four buttons, but it was buttons that were horizontally aligned instead of vertically aligned or turned. They were always labeled like forward or pick up or pick jump.
Wasn't like they were always in a layout that made sense.
Right, they were never in a layout that made sense. And to be completely honest, it's easy, especially, you know, we didn't get it when we were kids, but now looking back, you know, if anyone knows how manufacturing's done, you look at the game case and they're all the same game case. You look at the controlling sticks or the controllers, it's all the same controlling pieces.
I'm sure they use the same PSPs PCBs and everything.
They printed everything out. They molded and fabbed everything, and then they just kind of like added in the different control sticks and ignored everything else. So and you know, it worked. The problem is these things were successful. I mean,
highly successful.
I'm not going to say that they were good. I'm saying that
they were terrible.
You know, they stayed around for a really long time, and you know, we don't spend a ton of time on this specific segment because we have a little bit more philosophical segment later. It sort of kept going, you know, and to kind of like, again, I feel like we're just explaining what the angry video game nerd just talked about.
We are regurgitating a lot of what he said, but like it's because he's right. He's absolutely right.
Right. It's like when you go to Wikipedia
and
you read from Wikipedia.
Because I have a feeling, I could be wrong, that a lot of people listening to the show probably have never played a Tiger game. And it's just trying to explain what these are.
It's good that you missed it.
Yeah, no. You're in luck, kids. I tell you what.
I'll tell you.
You weren't around to know how bad things got.
Yeah.
And we thought it was good.
It is... I'm glad that it's over. To kind of sum
like
up...
Like this segment.
To kind of sum up, well, it's going to be over. To sum up, you know, the Tiger game sort of, they died. Eventually, we got these all-in-one type of game consoles, handheld game consoles that
weren't...
Game
Boy and such.
Well, not even the Game Boy, but like the GameCom, the Tiger GameCom. Oh. It was this PDA kind of thing because...
I was going with like where the market went and was good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to shed light, a good, happy ending
Nintendo,
to this.
Nintendo really killed... And I say killed, I mean like killed the competition. They did so well with the Game Boy, with the Game Boy Color, with the Game Boy Advance.
Today we have the 3DS and the 2DS.
Everything else.
It's happy.
Everything else Nintendo did.
And if you think handhelds today are terrible, go back and play a Tiger game.
Yeah, and it's or even, I remember they were selling these on TV. It was like the 256 in one game consoles where it was a fold-up screen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you could choose, like, play Snake, and you're like, man, Snake's so cool. And then you'd be like, Race Car, and Race Car is pretty much Snake. It's just Snake's moving one direction. And then, you know, you could play, like, Jump the Pit, and Jump the Pit was, I need to play Snake horizontally and not run into the hole. It was, and, you know, you could play Racing. Racing on level 2 was another game. Racing on level 3 was another game. So that was a lot of what the 90s, and I guess all the way up to till 2000
yeah.
was like. Now the segment's over. Now we can go on to
now
the song.
Segment's over. Wow, thank God we have a song coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, we do have a song. This is actually this is from the Proto Men. They are currently on Warped Tour with
every other nerd band.
With I Fight Dragons. No, MC Frontalot's not on Warped Tour.
Oh, I thought you said he was.
No, he's coming to Baton Rouge and Hammond. I'm sorry, Baton Rouge and New Orleans later this year in October, I believe. We'll keep you posted on that when we get dates.
I heard you say Hammond.
It's not
Hammond.
We need
Hammond. To get him to Hammond.
Correction,
now.
Not Hammond. This is yep. Breaking Out by the Proto Men. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This is Experience Points. And listen, that was Breaking Out by the Proto Men. Again, they're on Vans Warped Tour. I don't even know where they're stopping anymore. The Warped Tour could probably almost be over, but...
I'm not sure what stops that.
They
left.
Stop all over the country.
I so want to go to Warped Tour again. It's been, I think, 2000.
It's far away. It's far away from us now.
Well, yeah. I think like 2007 was the last time I went to one.
That's 7 years ago.
Whoa!
Some math going on right there. So we're not going to start immediately with the final topic of the show. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of mull around some of the ideas, and eventually we're going to get over there. So during the break...
Mulling time.
During the break, I played Destiny this past week.
During the break? Wow. Cool.
No.
I didn't even see him do it.
This past week, played Destiny, missed the moon mission, unfortunately. I was in Biloxi. I actually went to a jiu-jitsu tournament. Because I... Because
that's the thing
yeah,
that exists
you know,
in life.
Well, my girlfriend is playing some jiu-jitsu, sporting around and doing some stuff. And she had a competition, and it's first competition. Saw a bunch of people get thrown around and grappling. And anyway, I was in Biloxi, and I missed the Destiny Moon mission. It was for a little bit, like from 2 p.m., I think, like Pacific time or whatever. Anyway, I missed it.
But you missed the moon mission.
I missed the moon mission. Yeah, that point there. But so I finished off. I leveled up all the way. I did everything that the beta had to do. I was the number one in a multiplayer match.
Good.
In a CTF, a capture the flag or capture the zone type of match. I'm mad.
I'm just going to spend this next segment bragging.
Well, no. I'm not good at multiplayer. Like, that's something that is
I'm
going
not
to.
Either.
I'm not
We're
good.
Small. We should play multiplayer together.
I was only.
See how bad we both are.
I was only good in this one instance because they have some vehicles, and the vehicles in this map are pretty OP at this point. So I hope they balance those out because I am not good at multiplayer, and I dominated. I didn't die once. I captured the most. I killed the most. I got so many things, medals or whatever you get in multiplayer.
All the things.
I got all the things. I shouldn't have gotten all the things. And that's what leads me into this segment. That's what leads us, I think, is going
to
direct
Matt
this segment.
Matt getting all the things leads us to this point
because
in time.
I got all the things, I'm starting to think maybe I'm better at multiplayer, but then I remember how
now,
much
you're getting
time.
The big head again.
So much time was spent being bad at multiplayer. So much time, in fact, that when a big premium AAA blockbuster game like, say, Halo 4 came out, I was sort of contemplating not getting it. Not for a lot of other reasons that people would not get Halo. Like, some people hate on Halo. But
yeah, for their own reasons. I like the Halo series.
I like the
storyline.
I like the storyline.
I really do, honestly and truly.
I've played all of them, you know? Even except ODST. I didn't do that one.
Did anyone play ODST? I didn't even play it. I'm like a huge Halo fan.
I know somebody was like, hey, if you buy Halo Reach, we'll give you Halo ODST as well. And I'm like, no, I'm good.
You can keep it. I'm getting Halo Reach, what if?
Right. No, we can give you this one too. I'm like,
really, you can keep it. Don't want it. Put it in with the Tiger Games.
Right. In the bargain
bin. Sorry, I'm sure it's not that bad. I'm sure. If there's any developers of the Halo
ODST, don't cry.
Yeah, don't cry. I'm sure you did better than Tiger.
It's constructive criticism.
You always have that
out
there.
Yeah, I mean, you took a much, you know, anyway, we're getting off topic.
Wow, stay on topic.
So, so I'm bad at multiplayer, and I was kind of rolling in my head that
now I'm gonna feel really bad next time you like beats me at multiplayer. Let's suck at multiplayer.
I'm the worst of the worst.
I killed you 12 times. I suck, by the way.
I'm hot tonight. I'm good.
Wow.
But no, so I contemplated not getting Halo 4 until it dropped in price, even though I really was interested in the storyline, because I'm buying a multiplayer component that I've played maybe an hour of multiplayer. I don't have Xbox Live.
So you don't
Live.
Use it.
I don't have Xbox Live Gold.
No, that's another thing. I don't like that. The fact that Microsoft makes you pay this money to play multiplayer.
Even if they would. Silly. I could take it on Sony's side. I have Uncharted 2 and Uncharted 3.
But
no, that's what I'm saying. Okay, like I have Uncharted 2 and Uncharted 3, and they have multiplayer components.
Right.
And I've just never played it. I have so many games that have online multiplayer going on all the time. Big multiplayer things that are really, really awesome, and people really get into it, and they have tournaments. I just don't play multiplayer. I like game consoles. If I'm going to play multiplayer, I'm going to do it on a computer, and it's either going to be massively multiplayer or it's going to be something like Battlefield or something like that.
I hear you.
So I contemplated, you know, I rolled around, like, what if I could subdivide the game out, say, because specifically...
talking about breaking multiplayer off of the single player.
Right. And I use Battlefield specifically because they said that the Battlefield campaign was, or the Battlefield multiplayer was lacking in some stability zones because they spent so much time on, say, the single player. Or vice versa, the single player sucks because they spent a number of extra hours on the multiplayer. And I see, like,
well,
why...
I got a question here. Why does every game... Like
have to have multiplayer?
Whoa. why do you have to have a single player campaign if you're a multiplayer game?
Right. So,
like, why does this component have to even have development time?
So that's the other argument. If you have a game, there should be a question of not where, but why. Do we need a multiplayer component of Battlefield?
Well, the
answer is no.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, my memory of this is back in the day you had single player games, pretty much.
Yes.
Right? And then, like, so, like, you had something like the original Halo, say. They built a single player game, and they're like, hey, we have all these assets. Why don't we just kind of throw them, like, make, like, some smaller maps and stuff,
right,
and people can play together on
right.
them.
Yes.
And so, like, multiplayer was tagged onto a single player game just because they already had the assets and everything. It was an afterthought.
Right.
I mean, and then it became fun, and people enjoy multiplayer games.
It worked really well.
And then I think it kind of, at some point, a lot of the market shifted to where multiplayer games is where everyone wants to be now.
I think game consoles became more computer-like. Because it's Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike,
right.
Quake.
Counter-Strike is purely multiplayer.
Right. Quake multiplayer was good. And Quake's one that has a multiplayer component. And I'm thinking specifically Quake 2. Mm-hmm. Quake 2 is a single-player game, and it has a huge multiplayer component.
I think there was a Counter-Strike single-player campaign for something.
I don't know. Maybe Global Offensive, maybe.
No, I don't know. I think there was something, but no one cares. Because, I mean, like, 1.6 was just a multiplayer game.
Right.
Source, just a multiplayer game. I'm pretty sure Global Offensive is just
the one in between it. Condition Zero, I think, had the...
I think it was Condition Zero had the single-player that no one
cared. But the answer to that question is, you know, do all multiplayer games need a single-player component? No, they don't.
I don't. Obviously, they don't. Because Counter-Strike's a prime example.
Halo
there.
Is one of those prime candidates where, or prime examples where the multiplayer is huge, and it's not like story-driven multiplayer. It's literally one side versus the other side, and that's it.
The only reason we have a base here is they have a base there.
Right. So you,
thanks,
the
red
versus
blue. By the way,
no. So, you have to have multiplayer.
Blood Gulch?
Yeah, the Blood Gulch Chronicles. Yeah. You have to have multiplayer in Halo because you introduced it, and it's what sells Halo now, unfortunately.
Right. Well, everyone loves the Halo multiplayer.
But consider
Halo,
consider that at some point I was contemplating why do you have to have multiplayer attached to these games?
Well, it was keeping you from buying it.
It was keeping me from buying it. I was willing to spend either $30 or $20. Or half. Like, I would have spent, what was it, $25 of, say, a $50 game. I just spent $25 to get just the single player. I would have expected someone would spend $25 to just get the multiplayer game. And that way, you get more people playing, which is maybe wrong.
I could see that.
Maybe you want to spend more money on the multiplayer component, considering you're not doing a subscription service, except Xbox Live. And maybe you want to spend more on multiplayer because you have to, like... you know, you have to keep servers going. You have to keep those multiplayer games going.
I mean, that does cost money, and bandwidth isn't free.
Right. So you spend more on the multiplayer component. So multiplayer games are cheaper overall, but you don't get the single player aspect. Single player games are, you know, the requisite whatever minus tax extra. So, you know, for $20 I can get Halo 4 single player, and for $30 more I could upgrade or buy a separate disc or do whatever to get Halo multiplayer. And I think that would have been, you know, it worked really well.
I can see that.
In that situation. Likewise, Battlefield 4, I would have never considered getting the single-player component to Battlefield 4. In fact, I would be even willing to bet that once you get the multiplayer, you have the option for $5 to add single-player. Or just release the single-player as a
Steam
demo.
Sale later on.
Right, right. It's something that I don't understand the point of having it. The Last of Us, a thematic, atmospheric, immersive, third-person action-adventure game.
Right.
That's words.
Tons of words. That's a long title you put out there, buddy.
It's got multiplayer. If not just but because why? Everything has multiplayer. Because Tomb Raider had multiplayer. Why?
Why?
Because it did. Because Uncharted had multiplayer. Why? Because all these other games. Assassin's Creed has multiplayer now. Why? Because it does. And some absolute of these games, silliness. You know, single-player games should that's be single-player. Multiplayer should be multiplayer. And that brings up, you actually brought up a really awesome part about updates, because I'm always forever wanting to play a game, and it says, no, there's an update.
This is something that's been bugging me for a long time now.
Several times,
so
the updates.
Ever since we got the ability to update games because of wonderful technology and the internet, they're starting to experience the same issue that software has, and everyone gets aggravated with their software not working. Well, it's because it got pushed out quickly because some business guy somewhere said, hey, we need this date, we got to get it pushed out.
It's gone gold.
Yeah.
What?
We'll fix it later.
It hasn't gone gold, sir. Well, I told him it went gold, so it needs to be gold.
Exactly.
Now.
And then you get the we fix it later.
Right.
And it just ruins quality for anything.
Yeah. Because, it's first impressions, like in person, actually matter in video games.
A lot.
You know, SimCity, the new SimCity, not SimCity 2000, 3000, or whatever, 4. It's because they changed numbers at some point. SimCity, the latest Maxis version of SimCity, was online. It had horrible server outage problems. It made a horrible first impression. Now it's single player only. You don't need an always on connection. I'm sure they fixed all the bugs. I still don't own it because while I love SimCity, I got turned off to the idea of everything that they were doing with the game. And you know what? Sometimes cleanup doesn't really work that great. Now, if they release it on Origin for free, I'll download it. If they release it for $5, I'll download it. I'll pay it and I'll download it. But
still, regardless of having to be able to fix things now, like you mentioned it, whenever I sit down at a console, I expect to be able to put in a disc or load up a game that I've downloaded already and just play it.
Right.
I don't want to insert a disc and go, oh, by the way, you got 15 minutes of updates. Please stand by for the next half hour.
Exactly. I
want to do that, it'd be on my computer.
I don't experience that. You know, you download a game like Resident Evil 5, whatever, Red Faction 2. Red Faction 2 for the PlayStation 2, but I got it through the PlayStation Network. I never received updates for that because it's closed. It's a closed ticket. We are done updating this game. Now, I don't expect you to close tickets on games. Sometimes things get updated, and that's fine. But with a multiplayer and a single-player separation, when the single-player is done, it's done.
And I feel like that's how a single-player game should be delivered as done.
Right.
I mean, you can add expansions. Remember those?
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
then you can add to it later on, and I'm fine with that.
Before DLC.
But before DLC, we had expansion packs, kids.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, and that's what DLC should be, but smaller versions of. And
Separate show, even. We can hate on. That's one of the things we hate in video games.
Yeah. But, by the way, spoilers, we hate that. I just want a delivered product that I can just instantly play.
Right.
On a console. That's how I feel like.
Feel that I would even be okay, because, you know, the price isn't what kills me. It's the fact that I'll never ever play multiplayer, and yet I'm pigeonholed into loading a game that has to load assets that's a full multiplayer that I'm never going to use, and that it's only doing because it's anticipating or it's expecting that some people are going to play multiplayer, and that's a valid expectation. I would even be okay if before the game starts I get two options. I get play single player, play multiplayer, and when I hit play single player, it ignores all the multiplayer updates. Now I get, from a software development standpoint, that the engine is a single engine most of the time, different rules. Right. I get that. And when you're making engine changes and all this stuff, that's great. I still think I prefer to use a single player engine. The reason they make engine changes is because things change in a multiplayer environment.
I can understand completely in a multiplayer because it's more organic
right.
and fluid. I mean, you have to follow the community and different
things. You rebalance.
And if it becomes popular, you may actually have a league and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And rule changes and balancing and all that has to happen. But single player, again, I think should be a delivered package, done, out the door.
Right, because sometimes, like, I don't care about playing a multiplayer map. I just want to continue my story-driven part of the game. And an update, especially with someone with substandard internet, and I'm going to say substandard, you know, like
we all know DSL. You live out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, with someone with that type of internet, it really does say, like, oh, you can't play your game now. In fact, you can't play your game for the next 3 hours because we're downloading a several hundred megabyte or a several gigabyte update. And I hope you just have something else that you want to play.
Wow.
You know, and a lot of the times I've actually fallen back. You know, I leave the PlayStation 4 plugged in or the Xbox 360 plug in, and then I plug in my PS3 and I play a game that I have on disk that I just disconnect the network so it can't check for updates. Even if there are updates, I don't even get them because I don't need them. I'm not playing my multiplayer component of the game.
Righto.
We are going to continue this after this break. This is Maddion, the mini mix from the Annie Mac radio show. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was the Maddion mini mix by Maddion from the Annie Mac radio show. We're almost out of time, but we're going to wrap up the previous segment real quick. We talked in the previous segment all about, you know, multiplayer, single player, what their, you know, strengths are and the reasons we have them and when they should
be
separate.
How we want them separated.
We want them separated sometimes, but you know what? We're getting to the point where we can't separate these things. You know, they're part of a larger grand scheme of a game.
You want your multiplayer.
Specifically with Destiny. And I think I'm okay with that, though, you know, to a point where I'm okay to quest with people as if I'm in an MMO, but with a single player first person shooter. Because I've never played a first person shooter RPG MMO action adventure.
There was one
Mega Deluxe
that
game
had sold itself. Is this, I don't
remember. Hellgate London?
No, it wasn't Hellgate London. I can't. It was a futuristic thing. Anyway, it was supposed to be that. It wasn't at all. It had like a lobby, and then you went to
Phantasy Star Online. This is the next biggest thing. You know, we've got a really awesome show with Destiny, and it's got to be good. If it's not good, we're all going to just get destroyed by the hype train that it's created. Because
we hope that doesn't happen.
There are some little bit of congestion, or not congestion, but that's not the right word. There's a little bit of contesting, you know, attitudes about it, because now we've got current gen, which is PS4 and Xbox One, and previous gen, PS3, Xbox 360. All four of these distinct systems play separately.
That's, you were telling me that during the break. I didn't realize that.
PS4 players can't play with
ridiculous.
PS3 players or Xbox One players or Xbox 360 players.
It doesn't make sense.
And so from a technical standpoint, PS4 and PS3, let's just say, you can't play together because PS3's versions of the game are much underpowered compared to PS4. So if you have a sniper rifle in both games, you can't see as far as you can on the PS4 version in the PS3 version.
I mean, you know
Likewise.
How PC settled this? You deal with it.
You deal with it. You
have
settings.
A crappy graphics card? Well, you ain't going to see as well.
Everybody,
sorry, bro.
You need to go buy a new graphics
Get better.
Card. Yeah. But no, Destiny's coming out September 9th. It is looking like it's going to be a really fantastic game. The beta certainly has sold me on it, and I will be getting the game. There's a nice little phone app, kind of companion, second screen app, that it in real time sort of updates with all your things. You can kind of keep track of certain other things in the game while you're off either doing real life stuff or playing different games.
So while you're doing stuff, you can keep track of the things.
Right. While you're doing stuff, you can get your things. You can watch your things, and we had a whole discussion.
This was a discussion we had off the air.
Yeah, we had
things versus stuff.
Inside
and
joke.
The differences.
I seem to think
you
that
don't get to
everything is a thing.
Everything is a thing.
But stuff.
But stuff has a physical presence,
right.
is what we decided.
Things aren't necessarily stuff, but all stuff is a thing. Or
right.
things. A list of things.
Y'all followed that, right?
Anyway, we are out of time.
Aww.
We're going to come back next week, though. Before we leave for the night, for the week, and leave you all alone with your guilt.
And games.
What's that website, Bear?
That's exppoints.com. Always double tap the P.
You want to do all the social media stuff that we got going on, like our pages, subscribe to our channels, do anything with Twitter. I'm not even sure. You tweet, follow tweets? You can follow
tweet,
us.
Tweet.
Go to exppoints.com. Remember, double tap that P. Put a slash after exppoints.com, and then type in Twitter or type in Facebook, or type in Google Plus with the plus sign.
Super easy.
Or YouTube, or Steam. You can catch all of our previous audio from all of our radio shows. We're almost at 50 shows uploaded online. I think it's getting next close. Show. Next show is our 50th. Just go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, or you can go to exppoints.com and look at the radio tab. Again, if you're going to go to Stitcher, iTunes, search for Experience Points Radio Show. Please sync us. That sounds weird.
Wow.
Sync us.
Get us synced.
Sink
us.
Sunk.
Sunk.
Yep.
Don't sink us. I prefer getting synced, not
getting
sunk.
Getting synced means that we're sunk.
Wow.
To your devices. We are going to leave with
all
two. Mutant 64 by Saber Pulse and The Link by YT Cracker. As always, I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And this has been Experience Points. Thank you so much for listening in
it's
and tuning in.
It's been a great time.
Catch us again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.